Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. The Tennessean, Sunday, August the 26th, 1993, featured a story on the front page of the newspaper about a new edition of the Bible. The story was introduced as follows. A new edition of the Bible is shaking old assumptions about the beloved heroes of Scripture. The hot-selling book forces believers to confront the question, was Jesus black? Page 1A. The article was written by Ray Waddell, the religion news editor of the Tennessean. The introductory statements I have just read to you demand a careful examination and refutation. Why is the new edition of the Bible shaking old assumptions about the beloved heroes of Scripture? The new edition of the Bible is promoting ideas about the Bible which are absolutely and inexcusably false. So why should anyone bother to examine this perversion of Scripture? There is no indication in Scripture nor in history that Jesus was black. Let me say to you as emphatically as I am able, it does not make one whit of difference to me about Christ's color. The Jesus Christ who died for our sins deserves our respect, love, and devotion, regardless of the color of his skin. The big problem with the new edition of the Bible is that it is incorrect in referring to Jesus as black. Jesus was a Jew, and Jews are not black. The other heroes of the faith, Moses, the apostles, Mary, and Joseph, were not black either. And there is no way to prove, nor is it important, that Adam and Eve were black. No knowledgeable Bible student is going to be deceived by the new edition of the Bible. Ray Waddell affirms that the new hot-selling book forces believers to confront the question, was Jesus black? Most of you know how newspaper columnists seek to startle and to confuse their readers. If columnists simply stated the facts and gave reasonable interpretation to those facts, they think they might not have many readers. The greatest possible sin for a newspaper and for television reporters is not to sell their service. If people quit buying newspapers and watching television, the men who own and operate these businesses would not make much money. The bottom line for newspaper and television station owners is money, not truth, not service to the community, not the welfare of the readers and viewers, but money. So the story by Ray Waddell has no merit, but it probably did sell newspapers. Ray Waddell knows enough about the Bible to know that Jesus, the apostles, and other heroes of the faith were not black. He apparently did not care enough about the truth not to write his confusing and useless story. There are three photographs accompanying the article in the Tennessean. The pictures are described as follows. The original African Heritage edition of the Bible includes photos of modern-day Israelis posing as biblical characters. Above, two Israelis wearing their everyday garb pose as Mary and the infant Jesus. At top right is a recent painting of a black Christ on the cross, completed by a Cameroon artist and published in this Bible. The same artist depicted Jesus and his disciples at the Last Supper at left. Page 1A. Regardless of your color or nation or creed, you know that this new Bible is a travesty, not a real contribution to biblical scholarship and understanding. If children are taught this Bible, what are they going to think when they mature and learn that the Bible is promoting racism, prejudice, bigotry, and ignorance? Are they going to put the new Bible, and perhaps all Bibles, into the same category as Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and other mythological stories? How can a reputable publisher of the Bible justify his tampering with the sacred text of Scripture? The destructive and diabolical corruption of the Word of God may never be overcome in the lives of many honest and sincere Bible readers. In the same edition of the Tennessean, Sunday, August the 29th, 1993, there is a brief article about the publisher of the original African Heritage edition of the Bible. The article reads as follows. Nashville native James Peebles first got the idea that the Bible world was not Lily White when he stumbled on a strange painting that he found in the trash at age 9. The painting showed a black Madonna surrounded by a chorus of flying colored angels. That picture changed everything, he said. I was taught everybody in the Bible was white. That was the order of the day. But at that moment, I knew there must be colored angels in heaven, too. Peebles carried around this insight for decades, hoping someday to find a way to promote the idea of restoring the long-obscured role of dark-skinned people in the Scripture. A Metro public school teacher for 26 years, Peebles, a Roman Catholic, also wrote books about African biblical characters, but no one would publish them. He decided to end his frustration by starting his own publishing company in 1973, focusing on religious and secular books on African-American concerns. By now, Winston Derrick Publishers produces 124 titles a year. One of the most successful has been Black Biblical Heritage by John L. Johnson, which sold about 500,000 copies since 1975. Peebles is confident his newly compiled scripture, the original African Heritage Study Bible, will be a success, if only because missionaries need a Bible that is multicultural in a world where indigenous populations no longer accept white-only religious images, he said. But he said he feels called by God to help black people get their biblical due. This volume should release blacks from forever having to be on the defensive when relating their Christian experience and the experiences of their forefathers. This he writes in the preface to the biblical edition. This volume is to help retrieve black people back into the fold of Christ. Page 11a. Before I analyze and discuss James Peebles' comments about his new edition of the Bible, I want to read another brief article which appeared in Letters to the Editor in the Tennessean Monday, September the 6th, 1993. The letter has the caption, "Black Bible Will Only Increase Racism," and was written by my longtime friend T. Pierce Brown of Wartrace, Tennessee. Brother Brown writes as follows. A recent article featured the original African Heritage Study Bible, which suggests that Adam, Moses, and others were black. It will have a greater impact in increasing racism, bigotry, ignorance, and intolerance than James Peebles, its author, and the publishers ever imagined. Peebles showed his ignorance when he said, "I was taught everybody in the Bible was white. I have been reading the King James Version of the Bible for over 60 years, Brother Brown says, and have never found in it anything that even remotely suggested that everybody in the Bible was white. It also does not suggest they were black, red, yellow, or green. Any Bible that is written to suggest that any color is superior to another is unworthy to be called a Bible or used by any race. It is a racist slur to suggest that Adam, Moses, or Jesus are pictured in the Bible as white men, and therefore the Bible is not applicable to blacks, reds, or yellows. Jesus was a Jew, but any person who reads about him with any concern for what he taught would realize that his teaching, life, and responses to mankind were not Jewish, Roman, black, white, or red, but universal in application and appeal. Those who make a point about the color of biblical people are racist and unchristian, no matter what color they are. Anyone who suggests the Bible needs to be rewritten to give prominence to any race or gender does not understand the Bible." Page 8a. How could the truth on this matter be more forcefully expressed than the way T. Pierce Brown said it? Two questions demand to be answered in our lesson today. First, what were James Peebles' motivation for editing and publishing the original African Heritage Study Bible? Second, what does the Bible have to say on the subject of racism and discrimination? Let us take note first of James Peebles' motives for publishing his edition of the Bible. In an interview on WSMV in Nashville, Mr. Peebles expressed the opinion that his new Bible would help to build self-esteem in black people. My friends, I can understand and appreciate Mr. Peebles' concerns for the way many black people have been treated in the United States. Discrimination, prejudice, bigotry, and racism have unquestionably adversely affected millions of blacks in America. Not for one moment would I seek to justify such un-American and un-Christian behavior. But perverting Scripture to counteract the evil which has been perpetrated against many minorities, including racial minorities, only adds to the problem. As T. Pierce Brown so powerfully said, it will have a greater impact in increasing racism, bigotry, ignorance, and intolerance than James Peebles, its author, and the publishers ever imagined. I agree wholeheartedly. If black people's self-esteem needs improving, is there not a better way to accomplish that than by abusing and misusing Scripture? The Bible, dear friends, is not what we want it to be, but what it is. Jesus, the apostles, Joseph, and Mary were Jews, not blacks. You can chew on that fact, become angry or sad about it, but it is still a fact. There is nothing anyone in this world can do about what the Bible teaches. Moses, Joshua, David, and Daniel were also Jews, not blacks. I know very few people who would care if they were all black, but the truth of the matter is they were not. If we are honest with ourselves and with our Bibles, that ought to be an end to the discussion. James Peebles said he felt called of God to help black people get their biblical due. How in the world could a man feel called of God to radically alter the truth of God's Word? God told the Jews through his servant Moses, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Deuteronomy 4:2. The book of Revelation closes with a dire warning about tampering with divine truth. "For I testify unto every man who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Revelation 22:18 and 19. By what authority does James Peebles or any other man adulterate the Word of God by adding his own ideas, opinions, and prejudices? The Galatian Christians were in grave danger of being led astray by false teachers who wanted to take part of Judaism and part of New Testament Christianity and make a different religion from either. Paul spoke very sternly but lovingly to the Galatians. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach another gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." Galatians 1, 6-9. You can understand without my saying any more how very serious it is to change the Word of God, either by adding to it or taking away from it. James Peebles has committed grievous error by altering the truth of God's Word. Does not make any difference about his motivation. Nobody has the right to change what God Himself has revealed. One of the great errors of churches in the recent past is racial, social, or national discrimination. Many churches, including some churches of Christ, have been lily white and have not made people of other races or nations feel at home in their worship services. From a scriptural viewpoint, there is no justification for such prejudice and bigotry. It hurts me deeply when members of the body of Christ refuse to have fellowship with blacks or with Jews or with poor people. How can we fail to recognize and to receive a brother when our Lord has received him? There is not an honest reader of the Bible in the world who thinks the Word of God teaches or supports racial discrimination. In fact, the Bible faithfully preached has done more to end all forms of illegitimate discrimination than any other book. In fact, than all other books in the world. It is now my duty and pleasure to justify my assertions on the Bible's uncompromising opposition to discrimination based on race or color or national origin. The apostles were all Jews, not blacks, Jews. They entertained prejudice toward Gentiles and toward Samaritans. The apostle Peter was just as guilty of bigotry and bias as were the other apostles. But Peter learned from a heavenly vision that he was wrong in his discrimination. The Lord sent Peter a vision picturing all kinds of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. A voice from the vision said to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." The apostle responded, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Two more times the command was repeated. While Peter was meditating on the meaning of the vision, some men were sent from Cornelius to require for Peter's house. The men had come to encourage Peter to go to the house of Cornelius to preach the gospel to this outstanding Gentile. Peter explained to Cornelius that it was unlawful under the Mosaic covenant for a Jew to keep company with someone of another nation. But God had shown Peter that what others called common or unclean would not apply anymore. Now please listen carefully to Peter's inspired observation. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted of him." Acts 10:34 and 35. What a wonderful truth revealed directly by the God of this universe. Men and women are not to be judged on the basis of the color of their skin, the nation from which they come, or other irrelevant considerations, since God is no respecter of persons. So Peter should never have any problems relating to race or national origin. But the truth of the matter is, he did. While on a visit to Antioch of Syria, he was having rich fellowship with the Gentile converts in that city. Then some Jews from Jerusalem came on the scene. Peter got up and walked away from his Gentile brothers and sisters. Paul saw what happened and gave this account of the incident in the Galatian letter. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain men came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissemble likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If you, being a Jew, live after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Galatians 2:11 through 14. In the reading from Galatians 2, Paul used the word dissembled. He accused Peter and the other Jews of dissembling. The Greek word in this verse is hypokritos, from which we get our word hypocrisy. Paul was very forceful in calling Peter and his fellow Jews hypocrites. Have you ever thought how inappropriate such a rebuke would be if Peter had actually been the Pope? Can you imagine what would happen today if a priest or a bishop or even an archbishop were to criticize the Pope as Paul criticized Peter? In our reading from Acts 10, Peter affirmed that God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10:34. Do you understand fully the meaning and implications of that expression? The noun in this verse literally means to receive the face of a person. In other words, it prohibits making decisions and judgments on the basis of skin color, the texture of hair, the shape of one's face or his bodily form. Outward features should not determine whether we love a person or seek his welfare, spiritual or otherwise. A similar Greek word is used in all the following passages. For there is no respect of persons with God. Romans 2:11. And you, masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Ephesians 6:9. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there is no respect of persons. Colossians 3:25. James speaks at length about discrimination based on social standing. Let me read two verses from him. My brothers, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. James 2, 1 and 9. Although Paul does not use the expression respecter of persons in the following passages from the Roman letter, there can be no doubt about his meaning. He severely condemned the immorality of the Gentiles, Romans 1, and the hypocrisy of the Jews, Romans 2. He then offered God's way of making men righteous to all men, both Jews and Gentiles. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Romans 3:21 and 22. There is no difference or distinction. It does not matter whether a person is a Jew or Gentile, black or white, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, American or non-American. The gospel is needed by all and available to all. Paul emphasizes the same truth in Romans 10. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 11 through 13. The word whosoever is comprehensive enough to include everyone in the world, regardless of any outward considerations, because there is no difference from God's viewpoint. So why, dear friends, does James Peebles or anyone else feel compelled to change the scripture to include black people? The Word of God included black people long before James Peebles ever saw the light of day. From the beginning of the gospel, the invitation has always been, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. What I have said to you today has not been an attempt to justify racial discrimination or any other kind of discrimination. Blacks and other minorities have suffered shamefully in this nation, which was built on the foundation of equality and justice for all. I am committed to helping in every way possible for this noble goal to be reached in our nation. But attempts to remove discrimination, whether racial or otherwise, by altering God's revealed will do much greater harm than good. If we can change the Bible to accommodate our own wishes in one area, why cannot we change it in all areas? We are obligated, as the lawyers say, to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. When the Bible condemns discrimination, we must teach exactly what the Bible says. We must also practice what the Bible teaches. My friends, if you have questions or comments about our lesson today, please let us hear from you. We thank you for listening, and may our Heavenly Father richly bless you.